again, Marsha?
Chuck.
See what that baby remembers early on. That's nice to have. Her name, whoever, what she calls.
What?
What's her name, what she calls.
Oh, man.
Well, besides that. Okay.
The baby didn't get a name for like 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Good morning and welcome to each and every one of you to our worship here at Ephraim Moravian Church, and we pray that this worship will be a blessing to all of you. Special thanks this morning to Hal Halverson, to Marcia Ellis, and to Barb Klassen for their special part in our service today. At this time we hear the prayer.
Thank you.
Our watchword for the week is taken from the first letter of John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Please join us as we sing In the Morning When I Rise.
With them, but you know that we do pray for you and your specific situation. And also I want all of us to continue to pray for our country as we continue to have such a violent situation that continues to exist. And there will be a time during the prayers also of silence for you to bring your own thoughts and prayers. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, on this Lord's Day, we give you thanks for bringing us together, those here in person and those who are watching over video. Lord God, we need your presence. We feel your presence. We ask you to bless this time together. We ask you also, Lord, to watch over Dave, and Chris and daughter, for Aaron and Gail and Greg, for Marguerite, for Tammy, Julianne, Ray, for Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Lord God, we know that you are the great physician and you are the great healer. We ask you, Lord, to place your hand upon these people in whatever circumstance they find themselves. Give them strength. Give them healing. Give them your peace, Lord. Even as you came to the disciples those many years ago and said, peace be with you. So give them peace. Lord God, we continue thus to pray also for our country. We continue to have so many senseless, violent acts that leave so many lives and families shattered. Far too many. Too tragic. And Lord, we ask you to heal hearts, all of our hearts. that we might not accentuate our differences and our grievances against one another in ways of violence. Lord God, heal. Heal our nation from this scourge of the violence that we have seen yet so many instances of. Grant us peace. And Lord, now in silence, listen to our prayers. Lord, for all of those prayers, spoken or unspoken, we ask you, Lord, to give us your presence, to give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Scripture lesson is from Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin, ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. But you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. The reflection this morning is written by Pastor Dan Olson, entitled, If All Else Fails. It was English class, the first week of freshman year at Luther College. The assignment? A 500-word theme. No problem. I could write. I was the editor of my high school paper, after all. So with great pride, I handed in my first paper. Expecting nothing but the best, 1 week later, my masterpiece was returned with a great big red F. Now I'd have to pack up, go home, and confess to friend and family alike that I had flunked out, that I was a failure. Like the psalmist, I surely said, O Lord, give me relief from my distress. But as I'd been thrown overboard, I was also thrown a lifeline. By correcting errors, I could raise my grade to an acceptable level. After the crucifixion, surely the disciples must have felt complete failure. After following Jesus during their years together, they had to have wondered if this was the end of it all, not to mention their personal failures. To them, the future must have seemed very bleak indeed. Having the sense of likewise being thrown overboard, they too were provided a lifeline. Not only did Jesus appear to them, he was with them. They could see him, touch him, feel him, eat with him. In like manner, we have been thrown an eternal lifeline. There is nothing ethereal. Jesus comes to us in bread and wine, flesh and blood. He is as real to us as when the disciples encountered the living Lord. This is a lifeline that will never fail. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel for today is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as Galilee. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, fish on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Here ends the gospel for today. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. The scripture is full of amazing examples of spiritual conversions by many people, as is life in general. It doesn't have to be recorded in the scriptures. Think about a couple of those with me this morning. Certainly one that would come to mind for most of us of a great conversion experience would be Saul. Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, was on his way to Damascus. And if in Damascus he found anybody who was followers of the way, they would be bound and brought back to Jerusalem. But on his way to Damascus, he was struck down on the road. He was blinded. And he cries out, "Who are you, Lord?" And the the voice says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Go into Damascus and wait for directions. Saul did. He went in there, his sight was restored. This man who was a persecutor of Christians became arguably the greatest of all the apostles, now known as Paul rather than Saul. Some 1,500 years later, another man was making a trip. This time he was in Germany. This man was in Germany on his way to Erfurt, the university where he was studying. Martin Luther was his name, and on the way there was a violent thunderstorm, lightning all about him. Luther was afraid, and in his fear he called out, Saint Anne, save me. I will become a monk. And as it goes, she did, and he did. And the rest is history. Early on in my ministry, I was talking with a fellow pastor. His name was Tom. Tom was telling a story about when he was in his previous life an architect. One night, and this was in California, one night as he lay upon his bed all by himself, it was dark. And he said the room became flooded with light. And there was a voice. No one came in the room. No one threw on the switch. The room simply became flooded with light. And a voice spoke. Tom, who was an architect, took that to be the voice of God, calling him into the ministry of the Holy Gospel, which he did. Became a very prolific writer. Pastor in the church. You know, as we think about those kinds of situations, I thought to myself at the time hearing Tom, that's not my story. I've never had one of those experiences. Are we all supposed to have that kind of experience? And the answer is certainly no. Most of us have not had that experience, and I assure you, I have not. No voices. No lightning, no strange manifestation. Rather, God has worked through some very ordinary means, through loving people, loving parents. I think of Sunday school teachers. I think of all kinds of people who came into the path of my life. And I'm sure that that has happened to you in many and various ways as well. For me, it was specifically my father. My mother was a godly woman as well, but not one who was expressive. My father was. And he shared that gospel, and he shared how thrilled he was to be able to do that. That was a big influence on my becoming a pastor. There's great power in the godly example. And that godly example that we can pass on to others, be it our children, our grandchildren, whoever, it is contagious. I believe that that's how it comes for most of us. God comes in the ordinary walks of life. Quietly, unassumingly, reaches into our lives. No fanfare. No amazing vision. I love the portion of scripture from the Old Testament with the prophet Elijah. Elijah was told that he would see God, and Elijah thought it was going to be a great revelation of God. It was going to kind of bowl him over. And from 1 Kings it says this, and behold, a great and strong wind split the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the rocks and in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire there was a still small voice that spoke to Elijah. That's the way the Lord comes. In quiet peace, to captivate our hearts in that still small voice. Now, between Easter and Ascension, which is 40 days, Jesus came to his disciples many times. You remember on that first Easter day when Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus and he joined up with two other followers, but they did not know it was Jesus, until when they invited him to come into their home. They sat down and broke bread together, and Jesus blessed it. And it says that it was like scales falling from their eyes, and they knew it was Jesus. In the simple gathering around the meal, Jesus spoke in a powerful way to these men. When I think about this gospel for today, the seven fishermen went back to what they had always done, fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And this time they went out at night and they caught nothing, fished all night. They came back in and Jesus says, well, go out again and put the net on the other side of the boat. They did, and they caught so many fish they couldn't bring it all in, and Jesus was there. When they came in, there was a fire on the shore. There was bread, there was fish. And Jesus had prepared a breakfast for them. Perhaps the first shore lunch for those of you that are fishermen. And just as Jesus appeared to his disciples that morning on the Sea of Galilee, he appears to us today. Here in this place, or wherever you see this, he appears to us in similar ways. Doesn't materialize in front of us so we can touch him. But certainly, our Lord has touched us in so many, many ways. He flows in and out of our lives and meets us in those natural places in which we live and move and have our being. That's how the Lord does it with us. He comes to us in those simple, ordinary times and says, I'm here with you. He comes to us in the quietness of our grief. And my, has there been a lot of grief. He comes to us in the emptiness of our anxiety, silent trembling of our heart at times. Comes to us in the touch of a loved one's hand. He comes to us in the quietness of prayer. No great fanfares there. No sudden lights or visions. Just the ordinary ways in which our Lord comes to be with us. And it is a powerful reality. I want to go back to our text. I love how Jesus, at the end of the text, talks to Peter. You remember just a few days earlier, Peter had denied three times that he knew the Lord to save his own skin. I do not know this man. Jesus knew that. It could have been natural for Jesus to criticize Peter. Peter, you caved in, you know? But he didn't. But he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? more than all these things about us. Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. A second time he asked him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered him, you know I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. Third time. As if now with this third time to erase those three, huh? Those three denials of Peter now are erased as the third time he asks, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. When Jesus comes to us in those ordinary times, perhaps he asks us, Ken, do you love me more than these? And if you do, then take care of one another. Take good care of one another. That is what I am calling you to do. And so he comes to us in the quietness of our prayer, in that touch of the hand, in the voice and the word of forgiveness. He comes to us in that still small voice and says, I'm here and I will be here always for you, because he has promised that and we can trust that. Of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Proper interpretation.
You were blessed right at the right time.
Thank you.
The light of God should turn around, Ken, and look for
you. Know.
Did you see it?
Oh, yes. You get it right in that, like in a windshield or something.
Yeah, it's a windshield.
Okay. See it.
Thank you. This is so good.
I